Can you take some time, few minutes, to talk to God in the Spirit? Can you begin to speak in tongue? Speak in new tongues unto God. Jakata kama sontolea. Jekete he ma antolea. Jakutakaha. Jekete he ma sontolea. Jakata kama antolea. Jekete he ma sontole. Jekete he ma antolea. Ma sontolea. Father, we worship you this morning. We extol your name this morning. We magnify your name this morning. You are good, you are God. Blessed be your awesome name this morning. Father, we pour our hearts unto you in appreciation of who you are to us. We return all the glory unto you this morning for that which you have done, for that which you are doing, for that which you will still do, for your capacity to do that which we desire from you. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we give you glory. Lord, we give you honor. Accept our thanksgiving. Accept our praises. In the name of Jesus. Father, the hour has come for your word to go out this morning. Lord, I ask, oh God, that your word will not miss the target this morning. In the name of Jesus, I come against every dullness of hearing. I come against every blindness of the spiritual understanding. And I stand upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus, this morning to demolish every satanic gathering against this gathering this morning. In the name of Jesus, let the Spirit of God find expression. Let there be liberty in the house this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father. At the end of it all, we shall not miss your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Can we clap our hands together this morning for the awesome move of God in our midst? Beloved, I have no doubt in my mind that God is here with us. Right from the workers' prayer meeting, I sensed it. I saw it happen. And now it is happening. Don't miss out on what the Lord is going to do in your life today. And I pray you will have testimony. Dr. Olubade did not know why I hugged him the other time he led the workers' prayer meeting. He has really prepared the ground for the word of God to thrive this morning. When it was mentioned about we need spiritual strength, not only physical strength, we need spiritual vitality, we need spiritual vigor. And I discovered that it's in line with the message that we have today. And when our Father in the Lord also mounted the pulpit to declare prayers and ministration, the same thing. What we are going to be sharing today by the grace of God, it takes that thing for kings to prostrate for you. It's something that God wants. Don't let me forget to acknowledge the privilege I have and the platform I have this morning to share the word of God before the church of God this morning. I want to appreciate the leadership of the ministry for giving the younger generation this privilege. And when I use the younger generation, remember that Awotoye, we always say that he's a youth. And not only a youth, a senate member for that matter. Abisa, don't mind me. Youthfulness is actually a thing of the mind. So if somebody at 90 says he or she is a youth, just take it that he or she is a youth. Hallelujah. God has been gracious unto us in the house. Over the last 1 week, I remember the last Fresh Oil edition titled or themed, The Siege is Over. This message is actually a rider. It's a rider. It's a follow-up to the ministrations as God will be helping us today. And I've titled the message, Igniting the Fresh Fire. Igniting the Fresh Fire. Note the article D there. D. So it's specific. Igniting the Fresh Fire. And I pray that God will grant unto us understanding this morning. Media aiming to project the book of Leviticus chapter 6. I will read verses 8 to 13. My point of emphasis is going to be on verse 13. Leviticus chapter 6. From verses 8 down to 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is a burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire had consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning it, it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Verse 13, where I'm stopping. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Let me project Hebrews 1:7 as well, where it's talking about he has made his angel spirit and his ministers. Okay. Verse 7, thank you. And the angels, he saith, who maketh his angel spirit and his ministers a flame of fire. Well, fire is what I don't need to describe with much descriptions this morning. We have the physical fire, the one that is a source of energy, is a source of heat, is also a source of power. We talk about energy that is needed in cooking. We are not talking about that one. Energy that keeps us warm. That is physical definition of fire or description of fire. It produces heat. It also aids sight because it produces light that aids illumination or sight. But do you know that as useful as a fire is, it is also destructive. It is dangerous. We are not looking at the dangerous aspect of. We are not talking about physical fire this morning, but I'm going to be using this morning the physical, juxtaposing the physical there so that we can understand the spiritual fire that we are talking about this morning. Fresh fire is the one that is devoid of ashes. Fresh fire is the one that has freshness. It doesn't have any remnants of wood. It doesn't have any ashes when you burn the wood. For you to have fresh fire. So this morning, I'm going to be talking about igniting the fresh fire. It is God's desire and expectation for his children to carry fire in them. God does not like to raise weaklings as children. He wants people that are firebrand. And that is why the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7, talking about he has made his angel spirit, he has made his ministers flame of fire. By the grace of God, God is going to be opening our eyes this morning to see the kind of fire that we need to catch. Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew chapter 5 is a popular place that we know that says, ye are the light of the world. That's my point of emphasis. So that now talks about the importance of children of God having light, having fire in them. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, 29, it says, for our God is a consuming fire. That's on the other side of the fire that we are talking about. And when our God is a consuming fire, and we carry that fire, then we are supposed to consume the enemies and the work of darkness. We need to consume. I think I was some weeks ago, I was at a mechanic workshop preparing my car. And the mechanic, okay, it was, what do they call these people that carry flame and cylinder? I don't know what they call them. They are not goldsmith. They carry panel beater. Thank you, sir. They carry cylinder, you know, having their own gas there, which is different from, of course, cooking gas. And the mechanic told me when, okay, he was putting water. Anytime he fixes, you know, the thing, anytime he wets, he will put water. I said, why? He said, there is fire inside the engine. I don't know the portion of the engine where there is fire. So if engine, automobiles, can have fire, how much more God's children, whose father is a consuming fire? I'm going to be talking about biblical symbolism of fire. Fire symbolizes power. What makes fire to consume is the power in it, whether physical power, fire or spiritual fire. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, where there was promise of the Holy Spirit to the believers, say, and ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. Where I'm going there, the manifestation of the power of God coming upon the apostles at the upper room came as an evidence that was fire on each of them. Cloven or tongue of fire appeared on individual's head. So that shows that every Christian should carry, or must carry, every Christian that wants to be victorious, every Christian that wants to sustain victory, must have the fire of God, the power of God in him. Another thing is another biblical symbolism, presence of God. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 2, is the story of when God called Moses aside on Mount Horeb. Remember, the bush, fire was burning the bush, but the bush was not consumed. God wanted to speak to Moses about the deliverance that he wanted to do through Moses. He was speaking about the people of Israel suffering affliction under, you know, the yoke or bondage of King Pharaoh at that time. So it symbolizes the presence of God. Also, in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24, talks about the burnt offering. Can we have it, Leviticus 9:24? When the fire of God fell upon the offering, consumed it, and people shouted, and there came a fire out from before the Lord. That's the fire of the Lord. And that's what we are talking about this morning. I'm not talking about the physical fire. We are talking about the spiritual fire, God's fire that we need in us as Christians. So I consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. What gave them the assurance that their sacrifice was accepted by God was the fire that came from the Lord to devour the fat and the entire offerings. And that's why people took a bow, that this is God, and they shouted in awe of his presence. Number three, biblical symbolism of fire. It is manifestation of God's glory. 2 Chronicles 7:1, manifestation of God's glory. 2 Chronicles 7:1. Can we have it? 2 Chronicles 7:1. Okay. That was when King Solomon made, after he prayed, and he now made an offering unto God. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. So the glory of God is revealed by fire. Number four, divine guidance. Talking about spiritual symbolism or biblical symbolism of fire. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 33, we all know the story, is where the pillar of fire was accompanying the children of Israel in their journey. In their journey to the promised land. In the day, it was a pillar of cloud, but in the night, it was a pillar of fire. So fire was a kind of divine guidance to the people of Israel. The last one I'm going to mention is that it is an evidence of God's supremacy. We know the story of the event that unfolded upon Mount Carmel. Prophet Elijah, regarded as a prophet of fire, because fire came down that day to show God's supremacy. Remember, it was a contest between the prophets of Baal and prophet of the living God. That's prophet Elijah. So it's a confirmation or the evidence of the supremacy of God. Now, what is the source of this fresh fire that we are talking about? Number one, the word of God is the source of the fire that we need to carry. Not just reading the word of God on the surface, but having understanding of the word of God. And not only having understanding of the word of God, living in obedience to the word of God. Can we have Proverbs 26:20? The word of God. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, That wood refers to the word of God. The fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, my point of emphasis is upon the wood. The word of God prepares the fire in you, prepares the fire in me to be ignited. But not just reading, like I said, understanding what the word of God says and living up to the word of God, doing the word of God, you get fire from it. Another source is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our energizer, is our strengthener, is the one that gives us the power for the fire in us to manifest. Remember the case I cited the other time when the apostles gathered to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. When it came to them, when they were filled, they had power. You will catch fire today. When I say you will catch fire, I don't mean physical fire. You will catch spiritual fire today. You'll be ignited by the power and the fire of God to devour your enemies and to devour every unpleasant situations in your life. We need to ignite that fire. What are the areas where we need to ignite the fire of God, or the fire to ignite? Number one, we need to ignite the fire of zeal and commitment to God and His kingdom. Enough is enough of lackadaisical attitude to serving God. If you want to serve God, know that you want to serve God. Let there be zeal, let there be passion, let there be commitment in you. Let that fire be real in the way and approach you serve your God. Number two, put here, is holiness and righteousness. Let there be a fire of holiness in you, for God is holy. So if you want to serve a holy God, the life of the worshiper that will catch fire in God's presence matters to Him. Holiness and righteousness. How do you live your life when pastor is not there, when your leader is not there? How do you live your life? Do you still maintain the same standard you maintain while in the church, so to say, standard, so to say, when you are also in your place of work, in your school, or anywhere you find yourself? Ignite the fire of holiness. Ignite the fire of righteousness. And that is a fulcrum, righteousness and holiness. Very important. It's a fulcrum to this ministry. To raise a seed, that generation will be holy. That's the first thing. Holy. Holiness unto God. I'm not talking about legalistic holiness. I'm not talking about holiness without. I'm talking about holiness from within. God is going to help us in Jesus' name. We need to ignite the fire of evangelism or soul winning. We need to ignite the fire of evangelism and soul winning. Don't be at ease in Zion. Don't pretend as if everything is okay. If you are saved, the purpose of being saved is to rise for the salvation of others. So we need to ignite the fire of soul winning. Number four, we need to ignite the fire of obedience to God's word. We also need to ignite the fire of obedience to God's word. We've had so much messages upon this mountain, upon this altar, Bible studies, Sunday messages, every of our gathering, we share God's word. How much of God's word that you know, that I know, is that which we imbibe, is that which we put to practice? So it's not only knowing it, but obeying the word of God. We need to ignite the fire of prayer. We don't need to pray like Allah always. When you pray out. Fire is going to spread by the time you do that. But when you whisper or you murmur before God, that's not prayer. So when you pray, with fire you pray. Now, we need to ignite the fire of love and unity in the church. And that is where the devil banks upon in many churches of today. The devil is attacking the church to bring disunity among the church, to bring hatred within the church. We need to ignite the fire of love, the fire of unity. We need to keep the bond of the Spirit in unity. God will help us in Jesus' name. The last one I put there is fellowshipping with the brethren. Let there be fire. It's just in line with igniting the fire of love and unity. Fellowshipping with brethren. The Bible says we should not forsake the assembly of the brethren, like the habit of some people. When we fellowship together, we pray together, we share our problems together, whether spiritually, physically, and any otherwise. God will help us in Jesus' name. I put here fire. What are the fire extinguishers? Just like we have the physical extinguishers, whether the one with industrial or the one like domestic we have in our houses, in our kitchen, or even in the car, that is fire extinguisher. That is power that makes fire, you know, to come to be. That is also power that can extinguish that fire. That is what I call fire extinguishers. I have three of them here. Number one, the ash. I think I mentioned it, the ash. The ash is a fire extinguisher. In the physical fire, when the ash is too much, our mothers here, they understand. The new generation won't understand what I'm talking about because we are in the era of using gas cooker. But Mommy Okwetu, we understand. Mama Fajigwe, we understand. Mama, we understand what I'm talking about. And also some other elders we have in our midst. When they make fire and the volume of ash is becoming too much, they withdraw the ash to put in fresh firewood. And what is the symbolism of the ash I'm talking about this morning? Our past and personal glory. Our past and personal glory. I'm talking about sin. Hebrews 12:1 talks about the easily besetting sin that ensnare us. So we should lay aside, Hebrews 12:1, we should lay aside every weight. Wherefore sin we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. It can be habit. It can be habit that we have formed over the years. It constitutes ash of the ash I'm talking about. We need to lay it aside. You know the secret sin that you commit, that you are trusting God, maybe you term it as your weakness. The Bible, God is saying this morning, drop that weakness. Withdraw the ashes so that you can have fresh fire coming into your life. So number one is the ash. Remove the ash. Your past, forget about the past glory that you have. Forget about your personal glory that you have. Number two, that I call fire extinguisher, is wet wood. Wet wood. Can we have James chapter 4, verse 4? Wet wood. The first one is the ash. The second one is wet wood. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You can't have dual membership. You cannot sit on the fence. In the things of the spirit. You cannot have one leg out in the world and one leg in the church. Yoruba will say, "Ten yo baje oshaka, ko je oshaka. Ti o baje oshoko, ko je oshoko, ewo ni oshaka, shoko." You can't be here and be there. So the wet wood I'm talking about is, what friendship do you keep? Do you romance the world and still come to the church to say we raise holy hands together in one accord? God is saying this morning that we need to put away the wet wood. Just like physically, the wet wood can ever catch any fire. The wet wood will produce smoky fire. Smoky fire. Whether the wood is wet or the wood is drenched with water, it produces smoky. It can never produce fresh fire. It can never produce pure fire. God is going to help us in the name of Jesus. But the last one, the third one I put here, just three. No wood. No wood. Some people fall in the category of no wood. They have what we call death of God's word. I mean D-E-A-R-T-H. Death or one. They don't have the word of God in them. The word of God that produces fire in them, that when you face a challenge and you remember a portion of the scripture that can embolden you, that can encourage you, you recall and you apply it to that situation. Some people don't have it at all.
no wood,
no word of God in there that they can profit with. They don't have the Holy Spirit. The psalmist acknowledged this when he said in Psalm 119, I think verse 105, when he said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You understood that? He knew that he needed the word of God to illuminate his ways, to give direction unto him, to give guidance unto him. So do you know God's word? How much of God's word do you know? And you put it to practice. Because of our time, I go to the real business, igniting the fire. What are those things that you need to do, that I need to do to ignite the fire of God? Presentation of your body. Remember that we started from the Old Testament practices, talking about the peace offering, the burnt offering, and other forms of offering that was done in the Old Testament practices. And the fire of God will come down to consume. But now that we are in a New Testament, we are in a new era where God walks with you as his altar. We have the altar of God, a symbolism of God's presence in the church. But you carry God's altar. That's why the Apostle Paul said, know ye not that your body is a temple of the living God? How do you present your body? Romans 12, 1 talks about the presentation of our body. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable. So that's our reasonable service. How do you present your body? Whether in the church or outside the church. Verse 2, he's talking about, we should not, that's the second point I have here, that do not conform, but be transformed. That's in verse 2. He talks about we should not be conformed with the world, but we should be transformed. How are we transformed? By the renewing of our mind. So every day as Christians, we need to renew our mind. Everyone that works on campus or that lives on campus, we know that we see a lot of things every day. So daily we renew our mind. We don't process that which we see since morning, afternoon, evening. You now ruminate over it. That's the devil can bank on that. Renew your mind. So number three, I think I've talked about two. I said presentation of your body. Then do not conform, but be transformed. Number three, put away the ashes. That one has been mentioned, Hebrews 12, 1. Put away the ashes. Those easily besetting sin. Those sins that ensnare us. Let us do without them. Let's put them away. Point number four, we need to repair the altar. The experience of Mount Carmel, when Prophet Elijah called upon his own God after prophets of Baal had tried their own ways, they shouted, even they used stones, sharp stones, to cut their bodies, blood was gushing out. Nothing happened. And when Elijah came to the scene, when they were tired, he said, bring me water. I don't know how many gallons of water. He said, make a drench round the altar where the sacrifice was put, the offering was put. Pour water, not only in the drain. In fact, when they poured water upon the sacrifice, he repaired the wood. That's where I'm going. He repaired the wood. That's the firewood that was there. He repaired it. Pour water. Pour more water. Water soaked everywhere. The drench was full of water. And he called upon his own God without sweating. And the God that answered it by fire answered Elijah. That God that answered Elijah is here. He will answer you today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Don't let me forget, I said, repair the altar. What altar of your life do you need to repair? Because that repair of the altar has to do with your preparation. Repair the altar of your heart. Let your heart be clean. We shall ascend upon the holy hill of the Lord. He's the one that has clean hands and a pure heart. You cannot serve a holy God with a dirty heart. It's not possible. It's impossible, not even impossible alone. It can never be possible for God to accept such sacrifice. God will never attend to that service. He will not regard it. So we need to repair the altar of our lives. Point, the next point I put here, is it number five now? Put on the garment of humility. It's a thing of the heart. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, talks about Jesus Christ being God himself, you know, the Son of God, and God, you know, the Son. Not putting on, you know, the image, you know, the Christ, sorry, God in him. He did not think it robbery to be equal. Can we have it? He did not think it robbery to be equal with God. Let's go to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So God is going to, you can only receive the fire of God when you come to God as nobody. When you come to God humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, that is when the power of God can rest upon you. The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So if anybody wants the fire of God, such a person should come to God with a humble heart, a humble spirit. Also put there, fuel the fire by the word, prayer, and fasting. Can we have Acts chapter 6, verse 4? It talks about when the apostles were so busy, Acts 6, 4, when the apostles were so busy and they needed to share responsibilities. They said they were going to give themselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Why are you cheerful? Let us face the main thing, which is sharing the word of God and also praying to support the ministry. So we need to fuel the fire by the word of God, by prayer, also adding fasting to it. The last point I have here is make godly association that will keep you burning. Make godly association that will keep you burning. Check, carry out an auditing or audit of your friendship list. Those people that are your friends, can you present them to your pastor that these are my friends with the kind of lives that they live? So check your life, check the friendship that you keep as a child of God. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17, it talks about come out from among them and be ye separate. It talks about your separation from the world. Like I said, you can't be a friend to God and also a friend to God. You need to take position, take a side. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to say this morning that at the end of it all, fire is what is going to check everyone's work. Can we have 1 Corinthians 3:13? Fire will try and test your work. Fire will try and test my work. Every man's work shall be made manifest. That which you are doing now in the secret that nobody sees or nobody has ever seen, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. So nothing can be permanently hidden in this life. When the time comes, at the end of life, when the time comes, fire will reveal your work. Fire will reveal my work. I'm going to be closing this message this morning before we pray. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, talks about another fire. Another fire that is meant for those that don't have Christ or that did not receive. And whosoever was not found written, whosoever. It does not have any consideration for anybody. Whether you are rich, you are educated, whether you are old, you are young, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Beloved, I want to encourage us this morning. For as many in the church today that is yet to receive the lordship of Jesus Christ into ease of our life, today is an opportunity to do that. May your portion not be in this kind of fire. In the name of Jesus, it's going to be a day of no mercy. God is a merciful God, but his mercy can only take you somewhere. If you don't receive the mercy of God now into your life by accepting Jesus into your life, I tell you that day the Lord will not be merciful. It's a consuming fire. So that means there is a fire already prepared for those that will not accept or that may not accept his lordship. Don't be among that list. Don't be among that list. Shall we rise on our feet as I'm trying to close? The parable of the 10 virgins talks about the importance of having, you know, fire. Not only having fire, having oil, keeping us burning in the journey, you know, in this life. I don't want to go into the details. The 5 virgins that were foolish did not have enough oil. You need, thank God we just had fresh oil service. For fire to burn, that oil must be fresh. Maybe you don't have Jesus into your in your life as Lord and Savior. Today is an opportunity. Don't feel shy. I will just give 30 seconds. If you come out, fine. If you don't come out, fine. But I want to say that a day is coming. That day is coming that there will be no mercy. You know that you are not sure of your salvation experience. Please, all eyes closed. 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 You know that you are not sure of your salvation experience. Please raise your hand and come out. You know that you don't have salvation or you are not sure whether you are saved or not. In order not to be partakers of the consuming fire that is said, that lake of fire that we read in that book of Revelations, come out and give your life to Christ. Today present another opportunity for you. Just 30 seconds. 30 seconds is ticking away. You are not sure of your salvation, or you know that you are not saved at all. Or, let me extend it, you want to rededicate your life unto Christ. You were once saved, but due to one thing or the other, you have missed it. Can you please step out? No, see, mind your own business. Step out. Nobody is watching you. Nobody is considering who is coming out. Don't feel shy today, because that day is coming. God will not show mercy. The parable of the 10 virgins, 5 of them that were foolish, they didn't have enough oil. We are going to be praying this morning. Since everybody has Jesus in his or her life, glory be to God. But we are going to be praying this morning, asking for fire of God to fall upon us. This prayer is not prayer that we whisper. If you know that you want that fire to be ignited in you, ask the fire, Father, fill me with your fire. Fill me with your fire. Let there be outpouring of your fire upon me today. Release your fire upon my life. Set me on fire. Set me on fire. Let my body, my soul, and my spirit catch your fire today. Fire that consumes sin. Fire that sin cannot thrive. Fire that cannot, you know, sin that can, fire that sin cannot survive when I have it. Lord, release your fire upon me. In the name of Jesus, for those watching online, don't be disconnected from the service. Listening or watching online, ask for that fire. Tap upon the grace that is in this place today. That Father, I connect with you today. Pray that prayer. Lord, I connect with you today. Ignite your fire in me. In the name of Jesus, ignite your fire in me. Fire that consumes lust. Fire that consumes every easily besetting sin. Let that fire be released upon me. In the name of Jesus. Choir, please, I need you here to take this song. Choir. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp. I pray. Give me all in my life, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the end of life. Keep me on in my life.
Keep me burning. Keep me on in my life. I pray.
Keep me on in my life.
Keep me burning.
Burning till the end of life. Keep me on.
Keep me on in my life. Keep me burning. Keep me on in my life. I pray.
Keep me on in my life.
Keep me burning.
Us to pray this prayer for Cedar Generation Gospel Outreach, that the oil upon this altar, maybe we make it too, the oil upon this altar will not run dry. The fire upon this altar will not be quenched. Those who prayers, I want to, if you know that you love this church, you love this ministry, you pray that prayer. Remember, we are there together. This is our church. It is God's church. Pray that, Lord, the oil upon the altar will not run dry. The oil upon the servants of God will not run dry. The oil upon the leadership of this ministry will not run dry. The oil upon all the ministers in this ministry will not run dry. The fire upon the altar of Cedar will not be quenched. I want us to pray against every strange fire. That strange fire will not find its place upon this altar. In the name of Jesus, the fire of God burning upon this altar, we expose every secret and counsel of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, pray against every strange fire.
In the mighty name of Jesus, igniting the fresh fire. Can we look at something? 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Kings chapter 2. Can you just project it? 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. There are chariots. The chariot is different from the chariot of fire. There are horses. The horses are different from the horses of fire. As Elijah and Elisha was talking, chariots of fire, horses of fire appear and parted them asunder. If that fire did not part them asunder, Elijah would not go to where God wanted him to go, and Elisha would not fulfill his ministry. Are you listening to me this morning? Without that fire parting them asunder, as long as they were together, the counsel of God for Elijah to take him to where he wanted to be will not come to pass. And then the promise of God for Elijah to go into the ministry of the counsel of God will not come to pass. This morning, you have to call on the fire of God to pathway between you and anything that is holding you to a spot. Anything that is making you to stand at a spot, you need the fire to part you so that it can be taken to where God wants to take you. Can you ask that that fire will come upon your life this morning and part you asunder from everything that is holding you captive? Nothing might look good. You see, the fellowship of Elijah and Elisha was very good. true of us. Their companionship was good, true of us. Their companionship was mutually beneficial, true of us. They were enjoying it, true of us. But they needed to be parted asunder by fire so that each of them can get to where God wanted them to be. There are certain things you are enjoying. There are certain things you are accustomed to. There are certain things that you are glued to. But those things are not allowing you to go into the full manifestation of the glory and the power and the grace of God upon your life. This morning, ignite the first fire that this one might part you asunder and release you into your place of expression and manifestation. Holy Ghost fire, fire fall on me. Holy Ghost fire, fire fall on me.
Light up the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Light up the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me.
Holy Ghost fire, fire fall on me.
Heavenly Father, we pray for the fresh fire of the Holy Spirit this morning to consume everything that is not of you in our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, whatever may be the thing that is holding us to a particular space, to a particular location, to a particular spot, that's not allowing us to get to the place you have prepared for us. That's not allowing us to spread the fullness of grace upon our lives. That's not allowing us to get to the place of expression you have prepared. Lord, this morning, let the fire of the Holy Spirit come and part us asunder with those things. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit consume them all. In the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for your servant that you are used for all this morning. We pray for fresh fire, fresh oil upon his life, upon his ministry. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. If there's any fire that is going down the life on the altar of anyone this morning, Lord, you can do it. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus, in the fire of hope is about being put out of some lives. In the fire of confidence is about put out of the lives of some people. Lord, this morning, let the fire from heaven above rekindle these lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, restore hope, restore confidence. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the fire of victory and dominion is gradually being taken out of any life this morning. Father, let the fire from heaven above restore confidence, restore victory, restore dominion over every situation, into every life that's hearing me this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name forevermore. In Jesus' name we have prayed.